Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with yours truly, Garrett Michael Conklin. I don't know, man, I'm thinking I'm kind of slowing down this whole podcast thing here. I'm kind of looking at the numbers and looking at where I'm at and the kind of time that I have and stuff like that. And maybe I don't have that much valuable insight to spread upon the world every day, 5 days a week. So maybe I'll just trim this back a little bit. I don't know. This first week of my new career has been pretty tiring, to say the least. So coming home at like 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night and then spending an hour doing a podcast is pretty tough. It's been difficult for me. So, as you may have noticed, I've been pre-recording some of this stuff. Like today is actually Sunday, September 12th. But you'll hear this on Monday, September 13th, because I'm going to schedule it. That's one of the cool things about Anchor. I mean, I really do like that platform. It's a pretty good podcast platform. So, in any event, yesterday spent some time at the Lewiston Peach Festival. That's pretty cool time. I mean, it's just like a big carnival thing, but it's with a theme of peaches. So dropped a quick hundo there. All that stuff is so expensive. But, you know, I guess it was fun to get out and do something. We haven't done anything like that in a while. And then next weekend, we have the Niagara Celtic Festival. That's always a fun thing. Although they did relocate it away from the water, which kind of, we'll see. Hopefully we'll get out and we'll get to that as well next week. That'll be fun next weekend. But I have my first full week of work, 5 days in a row driving into the office. And so far, you know, like I said, it's not been bad. The drive isn't awful. It just takes about 50 minutes, you know? I mean, it is what it is. It's not really far. I think it's like 30 miles. But around here, there's no real quick way to get to where I'm going from where I live. Because I kind of live, I live in the north towns and the job is in the south town. So I'm kind of traversing the lay of the land out here to some degree. And it's, there's just no good way to get there. Every road I mean, there's a good way. Like I can take one road, then make one right and then one left and I'm there. So it's like three streets, but it's just, you know, there's traffic light. They're not throughways. So and the throughway is so congested out here during the times that I would be driving, it's not worth doing it. So get this. I get my car back Saturday. Remember I had a little mishap with my car where I backed up into something and bumped my rear driver's side quarter panel, or eighth panel, I would call it on this car. And oh my God, these guys did a fucking terrible job. I'm really pissed. So now I've been without a car for like 6 days. So now I got to make a phone call and call and say, hey man, you're going to have to redo the whole thing. They forgot a part on the bumper. So they left some scuff marks that were on the lower part of the bumper. And the part that they painted, the paint doesn't match. And part of the paint on the inside where the back door, like the tailgate type hatch door closes, there was apparently a bubble and there's missing paint. I'm like, what the friggin' hell? So, the inconvenience for me is we have a bunch of cars now, but it's just a pain in the ass to leave a car somewhere for a few days to have work done on it. And I love my car. My car is so, man, I missed it so much. It's such a great, that new RAV4 Prime, what a car. Holy crap. If you're out there looking for a car, it's a hybrid. So it's got about 40 to 50 miles of your driving is battery. And battery driving is, man, electric cars are, not that I don't want you to have a choice, but I might go full electric next time around. They're pretty cool. I really like the electric. Like I actually am disappointed when the motor, the gas engine of my car turns on because the car is a little bit louder. There's a little more vibration. It's just a totally different experience having an electric car. I would never have imagined that I would have reached this point, but man, I really like it a lot. It's really cool. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, the only downside, I guess, is to try to find a charging station. But, you know, like I said, if you can get like 250 to 300 miles on a charge, I'm totally fine. I would just have to charge once a day. You know, I can get to work, park, drive home, charge. It'd be perfect. I guess it's not ideal for long trips, but again, I'm not a long tripper. So maybe after this lease is done, I'll definitely be getting, without question, another hybrid of some kind. If it's not another Toyota, but, I've been really happy with the RAV4 and I really, really like this hybrid one. This thing, it's a really cool, comfortable, it's a nice car. I'm digging it, man. The only thing that's a little kind of wonky on it is the CarPlay thing is that you have to plug the phone in, and that's kind of annoying. It should be Bluetooth, because every time I get in the car, I got to plug my car in, let it connect, do its thing. It's kind of an annoyance that you have to plug it in. But other than that, you know, the car has been awesome so far. I really dig it. Like driving it a lot. It's very comfortable. And I'm, again, not a car guy at all. I basically drive a car because I need to, not because I like to. And this one makes it enjoyable to drive. So I'm really, really digging the Toyota RAV4 Prime. So if you're out there looking, maybe that's something to take a look at. And I got a pretty good deal. I think I'm paying $459 a month, something like that. Yeah, so not bad, with $1,000 down. So I got a pretty good deal. But I mean, you know, it was a year end. It was a 2021, so it's not a 2022, but I don't know. That doesn't matter to me, really. And I didn't get to pick the exact color that I wanted, but that's okay. It's still pretty cool. I got like this light gray, sparkly gray color with black trim. So it looks pretty cool. Anyway, went to the Peach Festival. That was fun. Got some peach pie, peach cobbler, peach pound cake, I think we got. So we brought that home. And today is the opening game for the Buffalo Bills. How exciting. I don't know if you guys are football fans. I'm honestly not really a football fan. But if you live in Buffalo, you are a Buffalo Bills fan, because that's just how it is out here. Strangely enough, I just enjoy listening to football. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like baseball. Like, it's reminiscent for me. It reminds me of, like, my grandfather and my father and stuff. And they always had the ball games on. And so when I was a kid, the football, Sunday was always football. So I just kind of like to have the game on. I'm not really like a huge diehard football fan for the game itself. Like, I enjoy it, but I don't plan around football games, is I guess what I'm saying. Like, some people are real into it and their whole Sunday is football. I like it on just as noise, and it's a nice calming Sunday kind of afternoon type thing. So I'll watch all the games and stuff, but not like, you know, dead close, and I'm not betting on them, and I don't have a fantasy league and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just way more into crypto stuff. Did I mention that? Man, I am like super into crypto. I bought two more cryptocurrencies that offer compounding interest on, I don't know, that's a really neat, I've never had an interest really in investments of any kind, but I don't know, out of nowhere, cryptocurrencies really kind of taken my interest, and I've been, I've been buying quite a bit. So I think my next step is to become a recurring investor, which I think you get like $5 in Bitcoin or something like that. If you do a, like an automatic, like a scheduled, like every day you invest $5 or every week or something like that. So I'll probably do that, because I piss away so much money on dumb shit anyway. I might as well invest it into something maybe that might actually make me some money. And I keep seeing all these videos on TikTok that talk about how the middle class and the poor people, which is me, don't really understand how to make money and how to have your money make you money, and how to use your own money instead of using the bank's money and all this crap. And one of the things is compounding interest. So I have to figure out different ways to do that. You know, and the interesting thing is I have a little bit of a savings account that I've mentioned from all the music that I've done over the last couple of years. And I would love to know some, you know, figure out some way to invest that in bulk. You know, and it's not a huge amount of money, but it's not like, you know, $1,000 either. It's a good sum of money. It's like almost, yeah, it's a little over 30 grand. So, I mean, I have a decent amount of money just literally sitting in an account doing nothing. And that's probably the dumbest thing I could be doing with that money right now. But since I don't really know what to do with it, I'm just letting it sit there for security measures. Like, it's my backup, like in case I get fired or some weird thing happened. Like, well, you know, like my daughter's car. It was nice to just be able to go to the bank and grab 10 grand and not have to worry about it and just buy the car outright. So that's been all. It's just been sitting there for almost a year and a half, 2 years now. It's been sitting there for a while. Unfortunately, it's not growing. It's not really doing anything. It's just sitting there. So I need to figure out what to do with it that's less conventional. So if you guys have any thoughts you want to send me? I mean, I'm a little hesitant to take 30 grand and drop it into crypto. That might be a little bit aggressive for me since I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. That would be, I guess, a little, I don't know, what's the word? Dangerous, stupid, impulsive. I don't know. Just probably not the best idea since I don't know what I would buy with it. But I did put some money just in the account there, because even that makes interest. So I have three interest bearing investments going on right now in cryptocurrency. I'm using Coinbase. I don't know what you guys use, if you do any of this kind of stuff, but I'm trying to get to a point where, you know, my money works for me and kind of makes a little bit of money, even if it's a couple hundred bucks a month would be nice. You know, that would be a good thing. But, you know, the crypto market is, it's a weird thing. It's almost like gambling, right? It's pretty risky, pretty high risk, pretty volatile. I mean, it's up and down all the time. Like I went from, you know, like not huge sweeps, but you know, like $100 up and down throughout a day. That seems like a lot. It's like, holy shit. I guess this is really for people with disposable income only. but as with any game, you know, like poker, that it's harder to make big sums of money on the nickel slot. You know, you got to go play the $5, $10, $20 hands of poker to make decent money, or you got to put in big bets, you know? So I'm not looking for anything crazy, but it would be cool to like triple your money. That would be nice. If I had like $100,000, that'd be nice. I'd be okay with that kind of a return on my investment. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing with that. And just, I haven't had a chance because I've been so busy at work. Just trying to get caught up, you know, I mean, it's a weird thing. It's like, these guys know I'm new. I've been there 4 days but I'm already like, well, you got to make this decision. I'm like, guys, slow the fuck down. I mean, I don't know shit about your company. I don't know about anything that you're doing. I can't just be put on the spot to make decisions because they're going to suck. We got to kind of ease into this thing and take that into consideration. I can advise on technologies and things we might want to do, but I mean, I don't even know what we really do as a business yet. We haven't even had like a leadership team meeting. So we got to slow the roll a little bit on that. I know they're pretty anxious to have a new person and a new body and some new lifeblood into their organization and all that. And that's great. But we also got to remember that I've been there 4 days, and I'm replacing a guy that's been there 4 years. So there's going to be a bit of a steep learning curve there without question. And that kind of brings me to my next point is that, did I say I applied at Yahoo? Yeah. Did I mention that? That's so cool. I you know, Yahoo was probably one of my favorite places, if not my most favorite place that I worked. I really had a great 5 years there, and I never would have left. Unfortunately, I was impacted by the Verizon acquisition and I was let go as part of that acquisition. But I just recently reapplied because I kind of read something about it, but something where Verizon decided to change its name back to Yahoo. So weird. But in any event, I have, you know, probably a lot of relevant experience in it and 5 years worth of it working for them. So it would be kind of fun to go back there. Now, I mean, I highly doubt they'll even respond, but we'll see. But that brings me to the point is that, you know, I'm either going to continue to do what I'm doing right now, which is kind of, you know, the MSP or the MSSP, which is managed service provider or managed security services provider, stupid in acronyms. And, you know, remain in the leadership kind of realm and do those kind of things. But that kind of takes me into the Windows world of things. And I'm really, quite frankly, I'm not well versed in the Windows side of technology. I can work in Azure and things like that. But, you know, if somebody goes, hey, what are you going to do and solve this problem for VDIs? I'm like, I mean, honestly, I don't know. I'm not even really that much of a Windows power user from a personal perspective. I'm a Mac user. So I'm not even that great on a Windows machine. I mean, I am, but I'm not. You know what I mean? I haven't written PowerShell. I haven't done any of that stuff in a decade or more, because ever since joining Yahoo, it was Macs for me. They made you use a Mac there. Everybody had a Mac. So I haven't used Windows for anything other than, you know, like federated access or like single sign-on using Active Directory or something like that. But I haven't been in the technical space at all in a very long time. All the music stuff I do is all Mac. This is on a Mac. My phone's all Mac. I mean, I'm kind of an Apple guy. I mean, I actually tried getting a job there, but none of their jobs, interestingly enough, are remote, which is weird. And we were looking at a position in Seattle, Washington. And I went and looked at, you know, I told the girl, the recruiting agent, I'm like, look, you know, I'm not closed to a relocation. I'm like, but it's got to make sense. I can't go from where I live, where my house is worth like, you know, $200,000 or whatever. And then, you know, have to buy a house that's like almost $1 million somewhere else. I'm like, I can't, how am I supposed to do that? So she's like, well, you know, take a look at the Seattle area. And I looked and I'm like, the mean average house out there is like $800,000. I'm like, yeah, well, that ain't going to happen. So I don't think that I'll be able to land a position, maybe anything other than like a customer service tech or something like that, which I would even do that. That would be totally fine. I would have no problem doing that, even for like, you know, a much, much, much less salary. I just don't give a shit anymore. You know, the money is not compelling enough to make me want to do and work my ass off. It's just, it isn't. I mean, my time is way too valuable. I think I finally reached a point in my life where I value my time over the money that my time is able to earn. And I'm happy about that revelation because I've been doing things for a really long time just because of the money. Now, as I'm sitting here saying that, I just took a job making a huge amount of money, you know, that takes my time, you know, and takes me away from my home. And I don't know if I'm going to like that. I mean, I'm still on the fence. It's only been 4 days, but I'm still on the fence with the whole, like, I like being home. I really like being home. I enjoy working remote. I think there's value in being in the office, but, you know, and again, it's only been 4 days, but I mean, I've had conversations with like 3 or 4 people that I could have had in the, on Teams or in a chat situation or on the phone. I haven't really sat down with the CEO at all. So it's again, it's one of those things. It's like, well, why am I in the office? What kind of water cooler conversations do you think are happening here? And, you know, a part of our team is in Texas, so they're always going to be remote. Again, so it's kind of like it's a really hard thing for my brain to justify. I'm sitting in an office by myself 80% of the time that I'm in an office. And granted, I have an office now, so I guess that's kind of cool. I don't give a shit about that one way or another. It's not like a compelling thing for me. Oh, if I don't have an office, I'm not, you know, I've never had an office. So this is my first office inside of an office. Usually I just sat in a cube, or every other place I worked, I sat in a cube or a community area or whatever. Never had an office of my own. So I don't really give a shit about that. But my point being, I've sat in the office 70 to 80% of the time that I've been there so far, just doing shit in my office and having people come into my office. It's like, well, I mean, I could pick up the phone and call you. I could have a Teams call with you. We could have a video call. We could chat online. We could chat in Teams. I mean, I don't know. So I'm still kind of stuck on the whole, and it's really impacting a lot of my, the thing is it gives up a lot of my freedom. I can't just do whatever I want because I'm not home. I really miss that already. That if I want to get up and go upstairs and grab a snack, I can do that. There is nothing like that in this office. If I want to go upstairs and, or, you know, or take a 15 minute break and go play my horn or a guitar or go take a walk. I mean, I guess I can walk around. I actually did twice last week. I walked around the building a few times just to get some exercise, but it just feels so antiquated and old school that you got to be in the office. So I probably will end up pushing the limit of that and just be like, hey man, I'm working remote today. Got some stuff to do and we'll see how that flies. We'll see if that becomes like a, oh no, there's none of that. We'll see. I don't know that they're opposed to it, but they definitely don't like, what's the word? Embrace it, I guess. You know, these fucking old school guys, I don't get them. I don't know where they're coming from. I mean, other than they just don't understand but you know, interestingly enough, the CEO works from home on Wednesdays because he takes care of his grandkids. So, I mean, that's really cool. I mean, so I don't know, maybe I'm just overthinking the whole thing and they just won't give a shit, and it's been like 4 days since I've been there. So I don't want to take advantage of things right at the beginning, but it shouldn't be a feeling of take advantage. It should be a feeling of, you know, do what you got to do. And if you come in, you come in, you don't kind of a thing. But it was mentioned in my interviewing process that, no, this is an in-office job and, you know, we want you in the office and blah, blah, blah. So we'll see how that goes. I've already been made to feel kind of like this might be a bit of a mistake in the sense that, like, I was the first day I was there, we sat, myself and one other new guy that was starting, and we sat with the CEO, and he was talking about, well, you know, I don't want to see you on your phones all day. Like, dude, I'm a 50 fucking year old man. Don't tell me what you need to see me doing or not doing it. You're really going to micromanage to that level? That really irked me quite a bit. There's, you know, an interesting word of the day, irked. That didn't sit so well. I'm like, really? What are we in fucking kindergarten here? I mean, you're going to tell me that I shouldn't be on my phone? What do you think I'm doing on my phone? Looking at porn? I mean, I don't want to carry my laptop around because I don't have like an actual docking station. So it's a pain in the ass to disconnect the thing from all the USB crap that I have it connected to. So a lot of times I'm looking at emails or texts that I'm getting from Teams on my phone. I'm doing work stuff with it. I'm not, you know, it's just stupid shit. But anyway, that whole car thing is really pissing me off because now I'm going to have them repaint that panel and buff out the bumper that they didn't do. And I'm like, I get so irritated by stuff like that. I don't want to, you know, but even more irritating is that I don't know how I'm going to do it because like I have to go to work at 8 o'clock on Monday and I got a whole bunch of meetings and stuff. So I got to call, let them know that this is a problem and I'm sure they'll take care of it. It's just the inconvenience of like, I'm not home. I can't just leave my car there for another week. It's kind of ridiculous. And on top of it, I need to bring my freaking wife's car in there like on Thursday of this week because my daughter bumped the front of her car and we got to get that fixed. Like, Jesus Christ, you know, so much shit going on. I saw an interesting thing on TikTok the other day and they were talking about Yeshua. And I guess that's the old Hebrew name for Joshua. I don't know why I never thought of that, but or put those two things together, but makes sense. But Jesus's name isn't even Jesus. It's Yeshua. Well, I don't know where they got Jesus from, or Jesus, but at some point it changed. But really, his name was Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A. And I've seen that lots in lots of different texts and books and things like that that I have. Oh, the other thing I got to do this weekend, I was considering closing the pool, but I'm not sure if we're going to do that. Maybe I'll do that next week. I cleared it all up, so it looks all good now. It was getting a little bit murky in there because we haven't used it in a while, and it's been rainy and crappy out here, but I don't know. I got to close that up. It's getting kind of chilly out. It was a little blustery and breezy yesterday. I don't think anyone's going to go in. My youngest is back in school. My other kids, you know, are kind of, you know, they're working and stuff too. And, you know, summer's over. It's September here in Western New York. Summer is over in August here. The nice weather kind of becomes real spotty now. We get a lot more rain and kind of moving into fall, which is my favorite time of year, but I don't have a heater in my pool, so it gets cold pretty quick. Did some work on my flugelhorn this morning. I mentioned an episode or two ago that I have I picked up a Yamaha 731 flugel, and it's, you know, kind of an older model, the precursor to the 631, which has the third valve trigger mechanism that allows you to tune that D a little bit better and the C sharp or D flat, if you will. That horn's really nice, man. I really dig it a lot. I think it's a completely different feel than the Schilke. And I think I finally landed on some mouthpieces. So I really think the Dennis Wick and these older, I don't know what these are, but I have a couple of mouthpieces, Yamaha mouthpieces. 12F3D is the size. And they're kind of classic looking. They're neat. I like them a lot. They're not super deep, but they're deep. They have a real comfortable rim. So I like those a lot, but I've also been playing a lot of the Dennis Wick stuff. So I have an SFL, which is kind of a jazzier, shallower piece. And I have this other one is a 5 EFL. That's actually got an extended shank on it, but I don't know why. It's a little bit longer than the others, but has a little less of the V-shaped inner cup. And then of course I have the BFL and the FLs, the real deep ones that just have that super round, fat, soft, buttery tone, but you sacrifice a little bit of range on those. I think those are the mouthpieces that I'm going to stick with on the Yamaha. They seem to really play really well, but that horn is very, I don't want to say sluggish because that sounds negative. I don't mean it that way. It's very It's like mellow all the way around. Like it sounds mellow, and because it's a bottom. So if you're not familiar with a trumpet or a flugelhorn, typically they're, you know, those pistons, those three buttons, the valves, they're what they're called, the pistons that you see on the instrument that play all the different notes, other than when you change your lip position and tension called your embouchure. The trumpets usually have inline springs, which means the spring is built into the valve that, you know, there's a, literally a spring in there that goes, bounces the valve up and down. So when you press it down, it pops back up. Well, on this particular flugelhorn, just like on my Thomann, it has the spring for the valve is on the bottom. It's a free floating spring. It just sits at the bottom underneath the entire valve. And that really changes the feel and the playability of the instrument significantly. So it's not that the valves are slower. They just kind of feel a little bit sluggish, and it gives you this, I don't know if it's me or what, but it feels like it gives you, it's just a different feel, you know, and you either like it or you don't. And it's so interesting because, I mean, compared to the Schilke, it is like night and day. This is like such a different feel to a horn. It makes you play it differently. It's kind of like a guitar, I guess. If you were to play like a big hollow body guitar versus like a flying V guitar, it's a totally different feel. And it might inspire you in different ways to play things in a different way because it feels different or it responds differently. So this horn has kind of like a sluggish, kind of laid back, real mellow kind of vibe to it. And I really dig it. I think it sounds great. It plays in tune. I mean, it doesn't have the trigger on the, like I said, on the third valve. So the D and the D flat can get really sharp because you really do need those. Those are never in tune. You really have to kick that trigger to get those in tune. But again, for the one I'm playing, it doesn't matter because if I need to fix something, I can always fix it later in the editing scenario because the kind of music I'm playing is not pure jazz. It's not classical. It's not. So if I make a mistake, it doesn't matter. I can just go fix it and you'll never hear it because it's blended and mixed into the music with effects and everything. Anyway, it's just part of the sound. It's not like I'm soloing really. It's just, you know, an additional thing I'm putting in the mix. So it works fine for me. Now in a live setting, it might be a little bit tricky, but you can bend a lot with your lips, your embouchure. So you can kind of miss a note and, you know, like if you take a tuner and put it up and then play like a C or a B flat, concert B flat, which is a C on a trumpet, you know, you can move your lips, tightening and relaxing your lips subtly enough that you can pitch that thing up and down all over the place. It's kind of like if you were to take a guitar string and pluck it and then bend it up or pull it down, you know, you can, if you push the string up, it starts to up the pitch. The pitching goes up because you're tightening the tension on the string by pushing it up. So that, you know, you see that a lot in guitar. So same with the trumpet or the flugelhorn is that you can move, you could just have to do that with your mouth. You just, with your lips, you can kind of relax or tighten them and you can move the pitch up and down quite a few cents. And depending on how good you are, you can really use that as a cool effect when you're playing and play some neat stuff and like half valve work. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with these instruments beyond just pressing notes and blowing air through it. That's what comes with years and years and years of practice and mastery of the instrument is that you're able to do things that, you know, a regular player can't do because you have lots of embouchure control and finger control and dexterity and things like that. So anyway, this horn really plays, I think, really well. I really like it a lot, but again, it's super different from the Schilke. And for the Schilke, I've landed on a couple of mouthpieces that I really like now. So I've never owned a Warburton brand mouthpiece. They're made in the USA, but these things are super expensive. They're like $180 new. So I picked these up for $65 and they're used, but they're basically brand new. So I've been using this one called the 8FLW, and that's just size 8 flugelhorn FL. And then W is, I think that means it has a wider rim. And then I also picked up an 8FLXWB, same size, but the rim is a little bit bigger and the cup on the X is real deep and V-shaped. And those two mouthpieces, so that the FLW is my number one, and then the other one's the number two. But those, for some reason, those things play really well in the Schilke. It kind of got rid of that resistance that I was talking about, and they're smaller. So I think I was going the wrong way the whole time. I was trying to go with bigger mouthpieces, and I think I should have been going, sticking around a smaller mouthpiece. I don't know why I was trying to get a bigger mouthpiece. And I think, you know, as ignorant as this is going to sound, you know, I've been playing for like 30, 40 years, you know, like 40 years I've been playing these instruments throughout my whole life. I started probably when I was like 8 or 9 in elementary school, 4th, 5th grade, something like that. And what it really comes down to me, in my opinion, is, you know, if you look at your lips have, you know, that like soft red, reddish skin, whatever that is on the lip, you know, the lip itself. Well, you want the mouthpiece to only be vibrating there. So if you go too big, I think what you actually need to be able to do with a mouthpiece is it's not necessarily about whatever size you feel like. It's about whatever size fits your lips correctly. It's like a shoe. It's like, yeah, you could put a size 12 on your foot if your foot is a size 9, but it's not going to work so good because it's too big for your foot. So I think I've been getting these bigger mouthpieces and they're too big for my mouth and they're making it harder for me to play, because as I've gotten down into a smaller sized mouthpiece, I'm having a lot more success with hitting notes and accuracy and hitting higher notes and doing a lot of different things that I wasn't able to do with some of these bigger mouthpieces, because I think they were vibrating on the wrong part of my mouth. I mean, how do I not know that after all? I mean, that's ridiculous. I always thought you just kept getting, going bigger and bigger and bigger, and you got this bigger and more full sound. But really, I think I need to be playing smaller mouthpieces, not bigger mouthpieces. So I'll probably have to go through at some point and do like a mass selling of mouthpieces, because I have so many that are just big and they don't really play very well. I probably need like a 7 or less. I play better on a smaller mouthpiece. So I have all these freaking mouthpieces that they're all too big. I mean, I don't really care, but it's probably like $500 worth of mouthpieces easily that I've got laying around here that I just won't play well because they're too big. And now I'm realizing that. And the other thing that's interesting and complimentary about these two mouthpieces, the Yamaha or the Dennis Wick to the Warburton, is that the Warburton is definitely a little bit smaller. So if I play on the Yamaha flugelhorn for a while, it kind of like wears and tires out a different part of the mouth. And then when you put the Warburton on it, kind of, because it's a little bit smaller, I can continue to play. So it's an interesting, I don't know, I'm coming across all of these interesting nuances that I hadn't before. And I've definitely noticed of late that my playing has taken a step up. And that's one of the cool things that I always like to tell people about, you know, when you're a player, you know, like I've said before, you're kind of always a student, right? I mean, I'm never going to reach a point where I've just eclipsed and reached the threshold of my skill set. You can always get better, you know, whether it's, you know, because I play the E flat major scale or the F major or G major, some of these scales I play really well, or B flat major. But if I look at like C sharp or F sharp or D, some of these scales I suck at. So my point is I could get super good at one thing and then they're still like, oh, just go try it in another key now and be that good in that key and then do it in another key. So you can spend years and years and years and years honing in this in and perfecting it, because to some degree, but unlike guitar, like the patterns are not the same for scales and things like that on the trumpet. So it's all muscle memory to play. Like you hear people playing that are pros. They don't have to think about it. Just the way I do with an E flat major scale, I can just, I can play it super fast and legato and staccato and move all over the place, 'cause I'm very comfortable with it. It's muscle memory. My fingers just know what the patterns are. So once you've learned that for every scale, then you go to the next level. But anyway, my point is I've gotten to I've reached another kind of plateau where I feel my playing has gotten better. My sound is better, my nuance and my vibrato and all that kind of stuff, because I'm playing so diligently nearly every day. It's gotten a lot better. So I guess my message out there to everyone else is that, you know, I was talking to one of my friends online the other day, and he's kind of sort of giving up a little bit on the horn because, you know, you're going to suck for a super long time. There's no way around that. And I would argue that even I am pretty shitty still. If you compare, depending on who I'm in the audience with, like if you put me against like a guy like Wynton Marsalis, who's, in my opinion, you know, the almighty lord of trumpet, you know, I suck. I'm a joke. I'm like a high school player. But in general, I mean, I'm not a bad player, but what I really have going for me is I have a really nice tone. And every video that I put up, lots of people are always commenting on, wow, such a great tone. Love your sound. It's not about, ooh, my flash. I'm not a flash player at all. I don't have a lot of speed and dexterity, but my stuff sounds really good. So that's what I've been really working on is doing long note drills. And, you know, you have to do a lot of boring shit to improve that kind of stuff. But really it's just like exercising. If you exercise every day doing something, it's going to make a difference and you're going to get better and you're going to get in shape and you're going to drop a couple pounds and you're going to be stronger. You know, I mean, you may not turn into Arnold or Lee Haney or one of these, you know, like Adonises, but you'll definitely be in good shape and you'll be able to hang, you know, it'll be nice. So that's kind of where I feel like I've stepped up a little bit. I've been able to, and it really, to me, feels like these two horns are my horns and these three different mouthpieces that I've been kind of meandering through are definitely where I'm at. Most of the other stuff I have, I don't play it too much and I actually don't play them at all now. For the last couple of weeks, I've been playing exclusively this Warburton and the Schilke and the Yamaha or the Dennis Wicks in the Yamaha. So I feel good about that. I mean, I know this sounds dumb to say this. It's like, well, why is this guy getting all excited? If you've been along the ride here with me, whenever I've talked about flugelhorns and stuff like that, the mouthpiece thing has been a conundrum. There it is. Got it in. Word of the day. For me for so long, because I have literally hundreds of them. And I couldn't really find the ones that really were the ones for me. And I'm like, God, how many more of these flipping things do I have to buy to get the right one? Looks like I found them. And the nice thing is, they're everywhere. So it's not like, you know, like I said, I've got two Warburtons. I've got like five or six Dennis Wick pieces. Two of them, I really like the SFL and the five EFL that I was mentioning. And then the two Yamahas, the 12 F3Ds, I really dig those a lot. I got one gold and one silver. And interestingly enough, the horn came with the 12 F3D. So that's really the only reason I would have ever known to try. I never even saw one like this before. Yamaha mouthpieces look a lot like Schilke mouthpieces normally, the new ones. So these are old. They're not new school at all, but I dig them a lot. Whatever this combination is, it works really well for me. So I'm going to stick with them. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. And I went through and listened to some songs of mine the other day. And I'm like, wow, I got a bunch of cool shit coming out music wise. And you know, you may or may not be a fan of any of the music that I do on here. And that's totally cool. I don't really care. But just for my own sake, I've got some really, really fire tracks coming out. I'm pretty pumped. I haven't listened to the stuff in a while and I haven't written a new track in a while other than the intro to this. And I've been using that for a while now, but these are like more lo-fi jazz, like fusion kind of modern jazz, smooth jazz kind of stuff with the hip hop beat. So lo-fi jazz or chill hop or jazz hop or whatever the hell it's called. I have no idea what the genre is, but I'm really stoked about some of the stuff that's coming out. It's really, really good shit. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And I want to start writing some more stuff, but you know, like I said, I have stuff that's still going to take me through October. And then I'm going to put a whole album out with two new songs. And then I have three more songs that are already toward the next album. I mean, I got so much music. So I'm going to get back to that, but, it'll actually be good, you know, because I have to slow down because I really only have a minimum amount of time to work on either podcasting or book narration or music because, you know, I really only have the weekends and the evenings now to do that stuff. So that's going to take a toll to some degree on this, but I think that's good because I'm just putting all this music out for no good reason. I mean, nobody's even listening to it. I have a brand new song out right now. It's got like 50 views, 50 plays. Yay. I mean, so maybe I don't need to put shit out so frequently. Maybe I probably should kind of swing that back to like, I don't know, maybe I'll do like, I don't know, one song a month instead of two or three. And then once I get to over 7, then I'll put a whole album out with a new song, and then I'll just kind of keep that pace going. Because I still think, and you know, I'm hoping and believing that, you know, at some point the music thing will catch on. It's just going to take time. You know, people have to find me and dig what I'm doing. And the other thing is I'm trying a beta version, a beta process called metadata transfer. So I'm taking a whole artist that I created called Solar Cities. That's all the synthwave music that I've done. And I've released one album and two EPs with them, but they have, you know, the artist itself is undiscovered. It's just, it's got like 12 monthly listeners. It's a joke. So I'm trying to move all of that music under Garrett Michael Conklin. So I got the notification that the metadata transfer was submitted to all the stores. So I'm interested to see. I did it only one other time with one song and it worked, at least on Spotify. So we'll have to see what that looks like. But my profile, Garrett Michael Conklin, might come out with like another 30 something songs that are all, I'm not sure how it's going to look. So it should be interesting to see what that turns into, if it fucks up my profile or not. But a long, long time ago, somebody told me, don't mix all your music together, Garrett. Keep people on point with and just do one kind of thing. And I'm like, man, that hasn't worked for 2 years. So I'm going to just, everything that I do is just going out under me. You know, I have another artist that I'm going to leave up called 13 Ohms. The number's 1-3 and then OHMS, if you ever wanted to check it out. But that's like music that I've been doing for the last 20 years. I'm not going to drag all that over because it's like 300 something songs. I'm going to leave that artist alone as it is, because most of that stuff I don't really care about anyway. But the Solar City stuff, I really dig some of that synthwave. I thought it was pretty cool. And I'm still writing some synthwave stuff like this intro and outro that I have for the podcast and things like that. So, and some ambient and some weird stuff. And I already have some of that on my profile anyway. So I'm going to put it there and we'll see what happens. So I'll keep you posted on that. Or if you see anything, let me know. That's cool. But in any event, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend. I'm going to go root on the Bills. They kick off in like 20 minutes. So that'll be cool. We're ready to go there and have a good weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks as always. If you can give me some good feedback or likes or whatever on any platform that you're listening on, that really does help the podcast gain some traction. So I would appreciate that. But if you don't, that's cool too. Thanks. Talk to you soon.